Speaking on this program is Bill Boyd.
Jesus, when He's teaching us in parables, we can see those pictures in our mind. And let's look now at this parable of the sower, Matthew chapter 13. But before we do it, let's talk about the sower in the Old Testament. There's a sower in the Old Testament, a little different context. In the book of Ecclesiastes 11, 1 through 6, cast thy bread upon the waters. Well, it's not talking about loaves of bread. It was the seed, the grain, that you would turn into bread. They'd call it the seed corn out on the prairie. You wouldn't eat your seed corn because you needed it for the next harvest. And so sometimes you'd go hungry in the spring because you had to sow that seed corn out for the harvest and not eat that. And so casting that which you would use for bread, you're throwing it out on the water. Why would you throw it on the water? Well, those river bottoms where the rivers would come up and they would flood that river bottom land and all the sediments would be in there, and that's when the sower would go forth and cast the seed out into those flooded fields, and they would sink then down to the ground as the waters subsided and dried away, and they'd be covered with that sediment and then produce a great harvest. And that's why thou shalt find it after many days. That seed would grow and produce more grain. Give a portion to seven and also to eight, for thou knowest not what evil shall befall the earth. We say don't put all your eggs in one basket. And you don't sow all your seed in one field. Look at different situations. Sow it out in seven or eight fields, because something could happen to some of them, and you'll still have a harvest then of those that were left. If the clouds be full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth. And if the tree fall toward the south or toward the north, in the place where the tree falleth, there it shall be. We're not talking about 100-acre fields here. We're talking about plots of ground. A tree fall out on the garden, it can ruin the garden. And so on this little plot of ground, you don't know which way the tree's going to fall or if it's going to stand there. So you need to spread your seed around in different areas. Diversify is what you would do to mitigate the risk that are there in trying to sow this crop. And then it says, he that observeth the wind shall not sow, and he that regardeth the clouds shall not reap. You're not going to eliminate all the risk. The wind's going to come, the rain's going to come, and you can't wait till you have a perfect day to sow or wait for the perfect harvest. You'll never get out there and do it if that's it. And there's things we don't know. As thou knowest not what is the way of the Spirit, nor how the bones do grow in the womb of her that is with child, even so thou knowest not the works of God who maketh all. There's just a lot we don't understand about how seed goes to the soil and how it produces a crop and whether this crop will be successful or that one will not. But that doesn't prevent us from going out and sowing that grain in expectation of a harvest. And so in the morning sow thy seed, and in the evening withhold not thy hand, for thou knowest not what shall prosper, either this or that, or whether they both alike shall be good. You might sow in two places and both of them produce a good harvest. But don't put it all in one field. Spread things around. You know, that'd be good financial advice. I think financial advisors tell you diversify your portfolio. Because, you know, one can go up and another can go down, and you want to balance this out and get good returns overall. I talked to a farmer down in South Florida, out in the Everglades agricultural area. Rich, beautiful land. And he would grow sugar cane, and he would grow sweet corn, and he would grow winter vegetables. Why go to the trouble of having all the equipment and management of three different crops? He says, well, you don't know which one might fail. And so you're doing it different ways to assure success. And the point of what Solomon is talking about here is the strategy of life, and setting out various things to mitigate those risks in life and give you a better chance of being successful. It's real good, solid, practical advice. And he's talking about the ancient sower out on the flooded ground. Very different lesson that Jesus is teaching us in the New Testament. It's a similar picture. It says that same day Jesus went out of the house and sat by the seaside. And great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went forth to sow. Behold. Now that's the kind of word you would use when say, look, it maybe point to something that you see. It's very likely that Jesus is sitting on the ship and they're gathered in front of him, and off in the distance there's someone out there sowing the field. It was the time of year for that. Behold, you see that sower? Let me tell you a story about a sower, and using that then as the illustration. A sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Well, the wayside is just it's the way at the side. That's where you would walk. That would be the path. And that'd be the hard beaten ground, and the seed would sit there and fall right on top of the ground. It wouldn't get covered by the ground. It wouldn't penetrate the ground. The birds could see it and come by and take up the seed. But we can see how that would happen. Some fell upon stony places. I used to think that was that old rocky ground, like was out behind my grandmother's in Nashville, Tennessee. She just had rocks all over the bottom. See how they mowed that yard for all the rocks in the backyard. But that wasn't what it was. It says the stony places where they had not much earth. And forthwith they sprung up because they had no deepness of earth. This is a soil that is shallow over a rock. And so the roots wouldn't be able to penetrate very deep. It was very shallow soil over rock. That's why it's called here stony places. And when the sun was up, they were scorched. Interesting that if the sun is necessary for the grass to grow, isn't it? For the grain to grow. And yet that which could have produced vigor in that crop wound up scorching it. And I think we'll return to that here in just a moment. It says, because they had no root, they withered. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. Anybody that's ever tried to raise a garden or try to grow a crop knows they've got to deal with the weeds that are out there. The curse is still with us from Genesis 3:17 and 18. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns and thistles shall it bring forth unto thee. We knew how to deal with weeds and weed pressure. We got real good at it in our generation. But we got herbicides, not very select. You can put it out on a field of grain, kill all the weeds and leave all the grain. But we know about the problems of how weeds can hurt a crop. Going on, other fell on good ground. And brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. He that hath an ear to hear, let him hear. He's not just telling a story. He's teaching a lesson. What's the lesson? Well, he didn't tell them. Not the multitudes. But he gave them that clue. He that hath an ear to hear, let him hear. He's talking about how we listen. And the different kind of listeners that are there. He that hath an ear to hear, let him hear. The disciples asked him, and so he told them about it. But I want you to notice this in the parable. What made the difference? It was the same sower. It was the same seed. Wasn't different quality of seed. Same kind of seed. Same manner of sowing and the same climatic conditions that followed. The difference was the soils. I was reading in preparation of this lesson someone that suggested maybe we should call this the parable of the soils. I thought that was right intriguing. Until I got further into developing my lesson, here's what Jesus said. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. Now, if that's what Jesus calls it, I'm going to call it the parable of the sower. I understand the thing about parable of the soils, but we're going to call it what Jesus called it. The parable of the sower. If anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and casteth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receives seed by the wayside. Now we know something about the parable. The seed is the word of God. Luke 8:11 calls it the word of God. The word of the kingdom in Matthew. The word of God in the parallel account in Luke. The soil is the heart of the one who hears the word. And the birds or the wicked one. Luke calls the birds, plural, the devil, singular. You ever tried to tell someone about Christ, about God, about the Bible? And there's an expression they may have used, they didn't use about that, you've heard it before, oh, that's for the birds. Well, there you go. They're not listening. It's not going to penetrate their heart. And the devil will snatch it away. But he that receiveth the seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it. Yet hath he no root in himself, but endureth for a while. And when temptation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. You don't get the idea that you can become a Christian. The rest of life is just easy. There's trials. There's persecutions. And there are trials that are common to man. But there are some trials that are because of the word. Because you're going to do what's right, you're going to face some trials that others might think they can slip by and avoid if they'll just give in to evil. And this shallow ground is a shallow heart. It cannot endure the temptations. Temptation of persecutions. Luke 13:8-13. They on the rock are they which when they hear receive the word with joy and have no root, which for a while believe. And in time of temptation, fall away. And so our friends that believe we're saved by faith only would have to acknowledge that for a while they believe. And so for a while they're saved. But they don't keep that. They lose their faith. They fall away. And so that is a passage that puts a death knell into the doctrine of once saved, always saved. He also that received the seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. I'll suggest to you that this is not necessarily evil things. We are faced with the cares of this world. We've got to tend to things. You may have gotten up this morning and had a plumbing problem, or heat problem. Maybe the car wouldn't start. You've got to pay your rent or your house payment at the end of the month. You've got things that are coming at you all the time in this world. This world is filled with cares and sometimes can seem overwhelming. And it is a responsible person that will accept their role in dealing with the cares of this world. But we've got to be careful not to let the cares of this world choke out what is most important. Those are important things. But what is most important is our relationship with God. And we can't let even legitimate things choke that out. Riches are not evil. Now, people can be deceived by riches, but it's not money that's the root of all evil. The love of money is. And there's nothing wrong with becoming rich in this world. If there were, every one of us would have a problem because in the world we're rich. But we can let our desire for things choke out that which is good. Luke adds this, cares and riches and pleasures of this life. They add the pleasures in there, but the emphasis is on this life. And if we let this life crowd out that life, that spiritual life, then we become unfruitful. And then here's the seed. He that receiveth the seed into good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. Luke 8 and verse 15 says, he, but that on the good ground are they which an honest and good heart. That's what the soils are. They're the hearts. It's an honest and good heart. Having heard the word, keep it. They don't let the birds come get it and snatch it away. They hold to it and bring forth fruit with patience. You don't sow the seed out there and jump back and watch the beans pop up like old Jack and the Beanstalk did, you know, and the thing just jumped right up and went up in the clouds. It takes patience. You have a good, honest heart and you hear the word and you keep it and you endure the trials. And you endure the temptations. And you overcome. And that's what the word patience there means. You stick with it. And it brings forth great fruit. What a wonderful parable. The parable of the sower. Very profound, isn't it? But it's very simply told, which is one of the genius of the ways Christ teaches. And then, in this parable, well, I'm the sower. And I'm spreading out the word. And it's falling on your hearts. And you make the difference. What kind of soil is the word of the Lord landing on? The invitation is to hear it and to keep it and to stay with it and to be fruitful in God's kingdom.